long can one little headstrong donkey live in a little garden shed? That is the question. Hey, and so glad you're here today for the Accidental Farm Podcast. I mean it. Without you, it's only half-baked. With you, it is getting out there. The farm is traveling to Ghana and India, to Canada and Italy. It is in 11 countries now and 18 states from Maine, down the East Coast, in the Midwest and Southwest, and in California too. So keep spreading the word. You're doing great. Murphy was doing great too. Pretty well anyway, especially by donkey standards. He had a safe little house where he was protected at night, food and water, and by day he had a lush green pasture. At the time, I was enclosing the pasture with electric netting and a solar fencer. This kind of fence helps to keep sheep and poultry in an enclosed area. It delivers a shock if you touch it. I know this because I have been zapped by it a few times. It's not that bad, but it's not something that you want to do too often. Despite being particularly stubborn and full of his own ideas, Murphy was mindful of the fence. Not so much because of the electric shock it delivered. I'm not even sure if he ever got shocked by it, but because it represented a physical barrier, and because there was ample space for him to explore. Remember his little house with its Dutch door and how he wanted to rear up and hurl himself over it? Well, I think that's a clear sign of not enough space. He didn't want to be closed in, and if he was going to be closed in, he wanted more room. This was one of my early lessons in speaking donkey. So, I set out to make him a better place to live. And because I intended for the goats to live with him, I had them in mind too. My back-of-the-napkin design was a 24-foot square barn with an L of 5 stalls along 2 sides. They would flank a covered area where the animals could get out of the weather, the sun and the rain and the wind, and take shelter without being locked in. Guess who I enlisted to help me build it? You got it, my friend and neighbor Carl. And when I say help me, I mean build it. He would let me help, of course, but mostly I tried to read his mind. He's a man of few words and even fewer cues as to what's coming next. Basically, on making this barn, as well as the chicken coop and the treehouse way up in the woods, I learned my only carpentry skills. I'm pretty good with the basics, but Carl still shakes his head in disbelief when I get confused. "Oh, well," he says. All the while the barn was going up, Murphy would spend the days in the meadow. He'd have something to eat and then just hang around the barn. He'd climb in a partially finished stall, and if he didn't get the attention he was looking for, he'd steal a bag of nails from Carl. Carl would swear at him. "Jackass," he'd say. They got along pretty well. And then, before the worst of the winter arrived, Murphy had a new barn to live in. A nice stall with a window and a hay baler in the corner. It didn't have electricity or running water, but it was close enough to the house for all that it needed. The barn has seen a lot of changes and improvements over the years. We'll get to some of those as the story of the accidental farm continues. But for now, it's satisfying to have you here, knowing some of the early days of the farm. It's fun to look back and amazing to think that's how it all started. I hope the same is true for the Accidental Farm Podcast. Maybe at episode 100, we'll be able to look back on the OGs, the core group who got this started. That's you. I'm so happy to hear from you. Thanks for the amazing messages and reviews. Keep them coming and keep on sharing. If you need me, I will be here and you can reach out to me anytime, as you know, on Instagram at XOXO Farm Girl.